Welcome.
Fly me to the moon. Let me be flown up to the moon in a space shuttle.
Moshe, that's how talented Moshe thinks Frank Sinatra is. Chicago is my kind of town. Well, we've been getting into a debate because we watched the Frank Sinatra documentary, and Moshe's
great
like,
doc.
I don't understand what he did. He's a good picker of songs.
No, all I'm saying is that it was a great documentary about an unbelievably interesting, amazing life, and hovering above the documentary like a specter the whole time. You're like, but this music is bad, right? We can all kind of admit that.
Well, not only that, I don't mind the, I don't love the music. I don't even like the music, but I have been liking it recently since we watched the documentary. I've been playing it because there's so much construction going on next door. It seems to drown it out. Kind of, I like those kind of big band.
Ba-da-ba.
Yeah.
We got a sassy broad with a big old bum. I want to put my cock right next to her thumb. I wanna have her in my bed.
The thing that you keep saying, which is a great point, probably a point made constantly throughout the ages, is he didn't write any of the songs.
Well, I'm overstating. I don't actually think Frank Sinatra's bad. I think it is listenable, and he's an impassioned singer. But I've never been that into any artist where they're like, this amazing artist. And then you're like, who wrote not one word of his discography. I'm like, oh, so what? Like, what am I learning about you?
What does that mean from you?
I don't know. I think what it really means is that I'm more worshipful of language than I am of, like, singing ability. I mean, I think it's impressive when you can sing well, but you don't become great unless you're the person that made the song.
That's just not true.
For me.
Okay.
Well, who else is great?
Like Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli.
Bad.
Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield?
I don't know. Just like people who are like these great.
Hold on a second.
I was just thinking. I was
your
just
four
listening
greats
to her
are,
today.
Are Frank Sinatra, Liza Minnelli.
I like female singers.
I do too.
And, you know, obviously my first choice of music is folk, and that's always
obviously,
written by them.
Obviously, your first choice would
no,
be folk.
No, I'm saying if there was one type of music that I had to listen to only, it would probably be like some kind of 70s folk music, mm-hmm. just because, like, female singers. I just love that kind of thing. It speaks to me.
Because they're singers and they're songwriters.
But I will tell you, people like my dad, Italian car dealers who are retired in Florida, when they hear Frank Sinatra singing, it reminds them of their, like, I mean, they don't have introspective thoughts, probably, but they
no,
have.
I mean, look, he was a legend. I'm not saying he's not a legend. I think it's like, I love the documentary. What a life. But I'm kind of like, okay.
There's plenty more artists, I think, that did not write their songs. But I hear you. It's always more effective.
Who are the great artists? I guess a lot of R&B, like, I guess Aretha Franklin didn't write her own songs, right? I think that's right.
Well,
a lot of country music stars, I guess, didn't. Or no, I think they. I don't know.
The thing that I know just from really liking art, like let's just say Judy Garland, because I mentioned her, and
sure.
I've always found her captivating. I don't think that you would find that or agree.
I do not. I mean, I love her one song, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." I do love that one. Where she's all. Remember where she was all? You remember she was all somewhere. Over the rainbows.
All I'm saying is they put so much of themselves into the song and into the emotion, and they're just like raw emotion living in the moment.
No,
of
you're
this
right.
Song,
you're right.
And they're connecting with people in this electric way.
You're right. You're right. Aretha
and I
Franklin,
think that there's something to that.
Aretha Franklin, Adele, these like. You know,
maybe Dusty Springfield wrote her own songs. I just remember looking up recently because I was listening to some songs like, oh, did she write anything?
Jennifer Holliday. I get what you're saying. Like
Jennifer Holliday is a great example.
There are these people whose voices are so unbelievable that you're like, okay, your voice is an instrument and you're like virtuosic, you know, almost operatic. And there's also Frank Sinatra, who had a voice that was a singing voice.
Right.
He had a pretty good voice.
I think everyone should press pause, go on YouTube, type in Jennifer Holliday, and I'm telling you.
Oh, that is quite a performance.
Watch it. tell me if it was important that she wrote the words to that.
No, that is fair. Jennifer Holliday, I think at the Tonys, singing "And I Am Telling You" is pretty unbelievable. The only vocal performance that's close to that is, now press pause again, go to YouTube and look up R. Kelly on, wait, hold on, I'm getting a message from our producer. Oh, okay, don't do that, actually. Don't do that at all. But no, I take it back. I think Frank Sinatra's an important artist. I think he's significant. I think he did have a really nice and unique and special voice. And he definitely made a lot of very special music. It's
not a genius that you respect, the marketing picking genius. Because, like, obviously a very savvy, very in touch with the zeitgeist person, his last song he ever recorded when he was like, had already retired, was dying or sick. And then he's like, maybe I should do New York, New York. And it was like, became like the anthem.
By the way,
for
let me
the-
just stop you.
Great.
Spot on. Spot on, Frank. Well, that was Frank. I have goosebumps.
But I mean, that takes a certain amount of genius too, to just be like, to hear that song, even though we heard Liza Minnelli sing it. To hear that song and to be like, that's me, that's what I want to do, and then to sing it, I don't know. It's like he could have picked any dumb song.
I hear you.
There is something to that. But also, that means you don't respect any Broadway artists, because Broadway artists don't usually write their own music, write their own songs.
No, let me tell you. When it comes to Broadway, first of all, the thing I respect the most, is this relatable? When it comes to Broadway, the thing I respect the most is the play, always. Language, always. That's just who I am. That's the only thing I'm good at is language. And so that's the only thing I respond to. But then secondly, when there's a great like performer on Broadway, like, yeah, Jennifer Holliday or, you know, Patti LuPone or one of these kinds of people, you know, they're doing virtuosic double duty, which is acting and singing at the same time, which I think is, you know, that to me is very impressive.
I would like to also add, would you like to...
Frank Sinatra was one of the great actors of all time.
Would you like to see 80-year-old songwriting duo Kander and Ebb singing New York, New York?
Okay, fine. I take it back.
Or look, would you... I mean, that's the thing. When people write songs, so often they're like... People always say it. It's like it just kind of came out. It came to me. It was channeled. It just like exists now. And I think it exists sometimes for other people to hook into it.
I think I know how to say what I'm going to say. People like Frank Sinatra and the people that sung other people's songs that were so talented, they were so amazing and talented and impressive until singer-songwriters came around.
That's true. And people were like, in the 70s.
And people were like, wait a minute, you can both write the most unbelievable song on earth and sing it,
yeah,
and make
cool.
it beautiful. Like, to me, that was like a shattering of this idea that like that there was one category of person that could sing and one category of person that could write. And mm-hmm. that's what I respond to. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
You're right. I hear you. That's correct.
And I hear you too. And to all of our Italian American listeners, I do not mean to diss Frankie Baby. I don't. I think he's good. I honestly like some Frank Sinatra.
Well, he has a really interesting folk album called mm-hmm. Cycles. He does a Joni Mitchell song. He does a country song called Little Green Apples. I highly recommend it. It's a nice new shade of Frank.
One of the funny anecdotes from this documentary is they were talking about how much he hated rock and roll, and his son brought him a copy of Yesterday by the Beatles, and like he's like, get that shit out of here. Are you fucking kidding me? You fucking Beatles? Fuck you. And then went and like smoked a cigar and had whiskey. I mean, everybody needed to loosen up in that era, basically. So thank God for the 60s.
Also, the whole Brat Pack mentality to me is very toxic.
Rat Pack.
Or whatever, yeah, Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. Very toxic. They even say in the documentary the men only cared about themselves. They called the women broads, and it was just like all about
the dudes. Wouldn't you
want
to be called a broad by Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin?
No, I wouldn't.
Listen, I think it's time that we settle our grievances.
Yeah?
About Frank Sinatra and okay. listen to some secrets.
Okay, let's listen.
Okay, so this is a secret. I don't know if this is normal or not, like normal teenage shenanigans, but I myself and my friend used to steal a family photo from every party we went to. So we would be like, you know, 16, 17, 18, and every high school party we would go to, instead of stealing like all the forks or something funny like that that we heard of doing, we would steal a family photo and we would just leave the frame or whatever blank. And so for a while, we just had kind of a scrapbook of these family photos that just were straight up not ours. One time we got caught and we had to like shamelessly send the photo back in the mail. It was super awkward. But yeah, I don't know if that's normal or not. Thanks, guys. Love your podcast.
It's creative.
Is it a tradition to steal from house parties when you're a teenager? Is that some
prank? Remember I told you I stole jewelry?
Well, yeah, everybody steals when they're young. She was talking about it as if it's some sort of like known prank ritual that when you go to a house party, you'll steal some thing.
It makes sense. Wait, how do house parties happen? Because that's just like giving me like flash forwards to like when my kid's 15. Is she going to be throwing parties or people are going to steal my shit?
That's your takeaway?
Kind of, because I'm like, who are these kids? Like, why would a family let their kid have an unchaperoned
Do you
party?
Not remember your teenage years?
I must not.
Well, here's how it works. Mom and dad go out of town and the kid throws a big party.
We're like, hi, darling. We're going to be at the Laugh Spot in Seattle.
Exactly. And you're finally old enough to stay home alone, right? Grandma's going to come by and watch you. And, you know, uncle's going to come by and make sure you're okay. But we think you're old enough. You're 15 now. We're going to go do a weekend at a club.
I'm definitely not doing that.
Why? Because you're scared to leave her at home?
To leave a 16-year-old? Isn't that illegal?
No. Is it?
I don't know.
Are you like a Catholic school mom? Are we never going to let her? What happens at 18 when she's like, I'm leaving?
That's the legal age to let a kid go on their own.
So until then, you don't let them leave your side? And then at 18?
No, I don't think you can legally leave them alone in the house.
Yeah, you can.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you never get left home when you were 16?
No, I don't think that's normal, Moshe.
What?
To be left alone overnight?
Did you sleep over at friends' houses ever?
Yeah, and their parents were always there.
Am I
think you had a very liberal childhood.
Don't you talk about my mother like that. Do you insult me? You call my mom a whore?
Can I ask our podcast producer really quick?
Why don't you ask our podcast listeners?
Laura, were you left alone overnight when you were 16? No, that's not normal, Moshe.
I just don't agree with you.
Okay.
I just don't agree. It's like a classic trope. How did it become a trope?
Because parents are fucked up and bad parents.
So every movie about a big blowout party is also the subtext of that movie, of that high school movie, is that the parents are actually delinquent parents?
Rich assholes, yeah.
I don't think this is true.
All right, well.
Part of your job as a parent is to slowly train your kid to become an adult. And part of their job as a kid is to abuse that trust and have a house party, but to find their true love at that house party, even though the house gets destroyed.
All right. Well, let's hear another secret.
Well, I'm going to keep some secrets.
Ask some friends.
How about I ask our podcast listeners?
All right.
Write us.
They're like
tell
18.
Us. Well, then they're the perfect people to answer it. Hey, listeners, 2 years ago, did you ever stay home over the weekend without your parents there?
Find out.
I'm trying to leave town, dude. You don't want to leave town for 18 years? I'm out. I'll go by myself.
You need like a father class.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. They're like, lesson one, never let your kid out of your sight for 17 years, 364 days. On the 365th day, they can finally sleep over at a friend's house for the first time.
Is that your impression of me with like buck teeth?
Yep.
All right, let's hear another secret.
Here's the bad news, honey.
Yeah.
You have buck teeth.
No, I actually used to.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had braces for
you
3 years.
You had buck teeth?
Yes.
Buck teeth.
I mean, they weren't like, oh, but like, they weren't good.
I want to see you with buck teeth.
I'll send you a picture. You don't see
You'll
a picture.
Send me a picture?
I'll text it to you.
I live with you.
You didn't see a picture of me in a night brace? I used to wear a night brace every night.
So our kid can't spend the night at home alone, but you can't show me a picture next to me?
Honey, I will show you a picture.
I want to see them buck teeth.
Okay.
I think that is so hot. Yeah, yeah, them bucks.
Ooh. Okay, can we please change the subject? Let's hear another whatever.
It's a secret.
Hello, my angels. I'm currently right in this moment going through something. Oh, this is what rock bottom feels like. Last night or this morning, I swallowed one of the crowns, my little chompers, my little tooth crown, and it might have been in the one bite of croissant I had today or last night because I was a little bit drunk. But I just realized it's gone, and I have this exposed nerve, and crowns are really expensive. I actually had this done in Mexico, which is probably why it's missing. And I just went and dug through my own poo to try and find it with the intention of boiling it and putting it back in my mouth. So that's my day. Oh, and I didn't find it. So now I'm going to have to go throw up my croissant and dig through that, hoping that it was just my little bite of croissant I had this morning that it attached to, and I swallowed it without knowing. And I'm never going to tell anyone else that, so you're welcome. Bye.
That was pretty cool.
Okay, let me tell you a little secret about me. I have a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
His building says dentista. He's in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
He is very inexpensive. And I think, but he's very good. And Moshe makes fun of me. We've already talked about it on this podcast, but all I'm saying is you got to find a good, inexpensive dentist. There are people out there. Like, I remember my dentist when I met him when I was poor and I walked into this dentista because I didn't have insurance and I only had like $50. And he makes the rounds at various dentistas for like part of his training. So he actually has like a nice office somewhere else, but he needs to go to these like lower income places in order to like, I don't know, maybe he just does it because he's nice. But you can find very good dentists at like these kind of like more cheap places. So I just think like, I don't know that I would have been able to dig through my shit for the crown.
What I was impressed with was I don't think we've ever had a secret that was being left during the secret. That was so cool. She had just searched through her shit and was about to make herself puke and search through that. And she called us in the middle. I mean, she called us angels. I think she's an angel.
But you know what? Like, I don't think that's something like, Moshe, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If I told you that happened to me, what would you think?
If you told me that you dug through your shit?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you exactly what I would think. Why are you telling me?
Right. Like, I'm just saying, like,
why not call a podcast?
I just think, like, when you do things like that, it might be the kind of thing where, like, you're so ashamed of it that maybe you just don't do that.
I disagree. I think it was pragmatic and smart. I think she did the right thing. The puke thing would gross me. I have a problem with puke. But I think you got to do what you got to do.
How much can a crown cost, though?
It sounds like it was expensive. No, I mean, she went to Mexico for it. Maybe she had like something more complicated than...
Because here's the thing. Even if she digs through her shit, boils it, pops it back on the tooth, it's still going to come out again.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is this what that show you've been watching, The Crown, is about? Because I've never seen the show, but is this it, basically?
Also, it sounds like maybe it was like a gold thing. Like, aren't you supposed to get like white cavities? Like, don't they do white now? Crowns,
yeah, but
is that
still a thing? You
don't
know what color it was? Oh, I don't know what a crown is.
No, I mean, I think a crown is like a gold piece that they put over tooth in like the 80s.
No,
and then
no,
they
no.
figured out how to fill cavities with white.
No, no, it's not a cavity fill. I think it's like a top.
It's a top, but why would you need that?
I don't know. I'm no dentista.
Well, I'm just saying, if you pop it back on your tooth, it's probably going to come back off again.
Right.
But also, it kind of seemed like she enjoyed it. And maybe you just like to get kind of down and dirty. And it's funny, you know? It's be you.
Yeah. You know what, Angel?
I've done gross things and I've done weird things.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I think it makes me
who I am. Oh, you did do something gross. I remember.
Because you know what?
You had those buck teeth.
Here's what I like about Angie. Is that her name?
I don't know.
If she was like Gwyneth Paltrow, she would never have to stoop to like digging through her stool to like, you know, your fingers get dirty. You're like, it's like this pathetic thing, but it's, you know what? Like, I think it's cool to like not be a rich person and to like, it builds integrity. It's true. Moshe, some
I didn't know where you were going.
Some spoiled person.
I was surprised when you got there.
Some person whose parents always take care of them. Like, there's a lot of people who aren't like that, who you can't just be like, Daddy, can you please get me back to the dentist? I just think it's, Mumsy, my crown fell off. Can you? I think it's like, you know, you do what you can do. And I think that's a very important way to live and not feel bad that you have to live that way.
I mean, I don't think she felt bad. She was just calling a podcast.
Well, she did say she was...
never going to tell anybody.
No, she said that this was rock bottom.
Oh, rock bottom. That's true. I agree with you. You know, I agree. I grew up super poor. You grew up super poor. And I would not trade it for having grown up with wealth and privilege. Because you learn what the world's like. All these fucking rich kids. This LA is like home of the rich. I mean, there's a lot of poor people here too. But it's like the home of the like entitled rich kid who's doesn't have any context for the world. Ugh, what a bad... I just think that's a bad way to be. Anyway, listen. Should we play another secret or should we just go to bed?
No, let's play one more.
Okay, fine. Don't scream at me.
We can't leave with someone digging through their shit to put a thing back in their tooth.
And our last secret of the week.
Hey, Natasha and Moshe. My secret is that I think it would be really cool to wear makeup, even though I'm a guy and I'm not into girly stuff at all. I think it'd be really cool to like switch up my look all the time and like, yeah. All right. Bye.
Oh, please do it.
I agree.
Just do it. And also, I think eyeliner, here's where you start with like a real like light, look at a tutorial and figure out how people do. You probably don't even know this, Mosh. You pull your eye down and you like, I don't know what it's called exactly, but you just put a little bit of liner like inside the crease of your eye. It's not on your skin. It's like inside the eye. And that looks really cool. It makes your eyes pop. And I think maybe start with something like that. You could even do like a color if you wanted to, but I always go with a brown or a black. And just like see how it feels. And if people are like, are you wearing makeup? You can be like, yeah, I put on some eyeliner today. What do you think? Or you can say no if you want, but.
I do not know what you're talking about. I'll tell you why. All my life, people can't see this because I'm wearing glasses. All my life, people have asked me if I am wearing eyeliner.
Mm.
I look like I'm wearing eyeliner, naturally.
Lucky you.
And when I was young, I was embarrassed about it because people would say I look like a girl. And then when I got old enough to be a man, I became very happy about it because my eyes are good. I agree with you. You know, if you think it looks cool and you're like embarrassed about the idea of trying it, I mean, it's not for me particularly. I'm not really into it. But like if it's something you're into, like why live a life where something makes you curious and you don't try it? Life is so short. And it's so fleeting. You only have one shot, you know, as Hamilton said. And you just shouldn't not do things, especially if they're not harmful. You should try everything that you're curious about. You should have fun, grab life. And if you're too scared to do it in public, well, you can start at home. Do what Natasha said. Do a YouTube tutorial and just wear it around the house. Look in the mirror. See, do you look cool? Do you feel good? You know what I mean? It's like, fuck all these people that this whole notion that you should like be conformed. Like that's what so many people on the right are always saying. Like they want this like back to basics. Like I don't want
to. But the left will make us all go to Starbucks.
Like this whole idea that being a freak is something negative. Like
my mom would always tell me that. Why can't you dress like everybody else?
Oh my God. Kill me. Kill me. Everybody is on a conveyor belt. And the choices offered you on the conveyor belt is conformity. Like do the widgets of life. You're born, you go to school, you get out of school, you go to college, you get a job, you find a spouse, you get married, you have a kid, you die. Anything you can do to jump off the conveyor belt for a little while and have an experience that's one of a kind, whatever it is, you have to do it because at the end of the whole conveyor belt, you're dead and you don't get to have any more experiences. So don't waste time on fear.
Actually, this call just reminded me too. I keep thinking like every time I put like smeared makeup on, I feel like I look good. So I think I should just start going out with like my makeup running.
Don't do that, honey. That's totally not cool and you'd look like a freak. And I just
really?
Look like everybody else, honey.
Anyway, I just think it's like, if you go to it with like a playful mentality, I think it could be fun. And also you'll attract people who won't judge you.
And you'll attract people who are more interesting. That's the other thing.
So true.
I mean, not to talk about the culture war, But in the culture war, I'm on the side of the freaks always. I want to be around people that are weird and fucked up and off the path and
who's
bizarre.
The opposite of Jared Kushner? That's like my type.
I love that. Honey, I love that. And more than that, I love you.
I love you too.